All right. Thank you, Sister Gia. That's great. How many of you remember when you were young reciting that in school? Do you know you'd be breaking the law now? Isn't that something? Thank you, Gia. Reminds us a little bit, maybe some of the things that's been lost. Amen. Go to Mark chapter 9 this morning. Mark chapter 9, we could have gone to Matthew or Luke, but Mark chapter 9, I'm going to read a little of a little account here. I'm going to preach on a word that you hear used a little bit. It's really not in the text, intimated in the word appeared in verse 4. But I want to speak to you this morning on the word phenomena. You know what it means? If you look it up in Webster's dictionary, it basically means an appearance or something that is seen. The way we use it today, we use it as something unusual, something abnormal, something maybe we haven't seen before, something maybe unexpected, something unusual basically covers it. Maybe something we've, like I say, not seen before. I like a story my daddy told me when I was a kid about how when the first old cars came out, they looked like spiders with wheels on them. You understand what I'm saying? You see some of them today. I mean, the first cars coming out. Daddy told me about a farm boy that grabbed his shotgun and went squirrel hunting that morning. He came rushing home about middle of the morning to tell his dad. He said, "I saw and heard something I have never seen before." He said, "I was out there in the woods," and he said, "all of a sudden this noise came down the wagon trail, just the worst noise." He said, "It was smoking and making," and he said, "I never heard such a noise, never seen such a creepy looking thing, looked like a big spider." His dad said, "What'd you do?" He said, "Well, it wasn't much I could do, but," he said, "before I ran," he said, "I fired my gun at it, and it let that man go that was in it." I guess that's the phenomenon. Amen. I want you to look with me here in Mark chapter 9. The Lord Jesus is speaking. And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you that there is some of you, some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." Now, he actually fulfills this in the next few verses. Go into verse 2. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so that no full on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elijah of the Old Testament, Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias.' For he wished not what to say, for they were so afraid. There was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.' And suddenly when they had looked around about, they saw no man anymore, save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean." The context of this particular scripture here is an event pictured that is pictured in an event that is nearing, and his time here was getting near the time of the cross. If you read this account in Luke, it would say that when Moses and Elijah showed up and were speaking with Jesus, the subject they were talking about was his decease at Jerusalem, his dying on the cross. Stephen just kind of hit about it a little bit this morning, but you understand the Old Testament believers look forward to the payment being made on the cross. Amen. We New Testament believers look back to the fact the payment has been sufficiently made on the cross. And so this was a big event. It tells us something here. It tells us Moses and Elijah was alive. Matthew 22 tells us where Jesus spoke. He said, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. So they're alive, and they showed up here in this event as Jesus was transfigured in front of Peter, James, and John. Now, like this, Peter, James, and John was called apart from the rest. I want to tell you something. God's people soon, and you can see it in the picture here, are going to be called apart from the rest. We're going to be taken up at when the trumpet sounds, and there's a lot we could talk about in the text. That's not so much my point. I would like for you to notice in verse 2, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John. Those that believe, and I believe that way myself, that pictured in the scripture is the thousand-year day theory. I want to say to you here, this event pictures a time at the end of the sixth day. Luke says it's before the eighth day. You know what that would make it? That'd make it seven. Seven comes between six and eight. So we're into the seventh day now by our calendar, which is not quite right. Seven being 7,000 years, one day for every 1,000 years. God created the earth in the 6 days and rested on the seventh. So you have a picture right here, like the Bible always perfectly fits together. And you can see the picture that we might be soon called apart. We might be going up. We might be fixing to meet Jesus. And the rapture is what I'm talking about. And somebody said, well, it's Peter, James, and John, and they were probably the closest of the disciples. Maybe it's a split rapture, and maybe just the best are going up. No, I got to tell you, Lot's going up too. Lot was a backslider in the scripture. He's going to go up also. By the way, as a preacher, I can tell you there's lots of backsliders today. Amen. And they're going up at the rapture also, some to shame, I'm sure. But Mark here, 9, tells us that they were apart. They were being pulled apart. And here's a picture of the Lord's glory that's one day going to be revealed to the world. You're not going to see Jesus when he comes back as one that's been shamed and stripped and bloody on the cross, my friend. He's coming back in his glory. It won't be like that. And notice here, when he was transfigured, it was in white raiment. Now, I don't know all about that, except you see in the scripture oftentimes, and even in some stories and experiences today, people speak of the heavenly host being in white, being in shining, being in brightness. And we all know some stories on that. By the way, when Adam and Eve was created in the garden, we think about maybe naked humans out there. But I want to tell you, when they were created, they were not naked in the sense we think of. Even science today is telling us when they check the DNA on human beings that they recognize a flaw. Something happened somewhere back in the DNA. That's why we get old. That's why we die. The Bible tells us it's sin and the curse that comes from sin. But I want to say to you, when we undergo our change, we're not going to look like we do now. We're going to be transfigured, and we're going to be in the shining brightness and the glory that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us. And here it's pictured as he's transfigured here on what we often call the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, Peter, like most of us, he misspoke. He spoke up. He had to say something. You ever known anybody that just had to say something? Where it made sense or not, where the right timing or not, well, that's kind of the way Peter was, and we're kin to him today, I'll guarantee you. But Peter misspoke, but then he had a voice from heaven that he heard, and the voice that came from heaven gave some advice we'd well do to listen to today. Hear Jesus. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Wouldn't this country be a lot different if we could shut up and listen to Jesus? Sure it would. I want to use this one word, though, this morning as much as possible, because this was a phenomena. This was unusual. This was something they didn't expect. This was something they couldn't explain. And as we look around today, we recognize there's a lot of phenomena in the world today. And this event, had it been filmed or reported on in that day as it would be today, it'd be called a phenomena. In fact, they are going to get to film these two one day. If you read Revelation chapter 11, there's two witnesses showing up, Moses and Elijah. I believe that's the two. And they're going to testify in the streets of Jerusalem until God allows the Antichrist to kill them. And then they're going to be supernaturally resurrected up to heaven. And that time is going to come. And I can imagine folks sitting around the satellite TVs all over the world saying, did you see that phenomenon? Did you see those dead bodies rise up from the streets of Jerusalem? Don't you think that kind of talk's going on? I do. I think it will definitely go on. And here, as I look at this event, had it been filmed or reported today, I think it probably would have been called a phenomenon. I want to say this morning. There are some events today we call phenomena. We look around and can't explain or are surprised by them. And again, the word means an appearance that's seen, something that we'll see. In this case, you had a voice from heaven, so it was also not only seen, but it was heard. And unusual, it would have gotten everybody's attention. Now, this is explainable here in the Bible because God did it. God was there. Jesus was God. So we can explain this phenomena, we that believe the Word of God. But there are things coming and things that are happening that the world can't explain today. Many of them could if they believed in God, but they don't believe, and therefore they have no explanation. But you know, recently we've seen some phenomena. I mean, do you understand a storm that's almost 1,000 miles across is a phenomena? Can you also say that after it hit 9 days later, a great big snowstorm with 2 foot of snow, that might be called a phenomena? I mean, why not? It was unnatural. I mean, you say, well, they saw it on the radar, yeah, but they didn't expect it to be that way. It was something they couldn't explain. So yes, phenomena today still happens in one way or the other. And by the way, that particular phenomena might have tipped the election. Could have had a lot to do with it. To me, it's a personal phenomenon when I look at the election and see how our values got trashed. Amazes me today that the old America I knew could vote in gay marriage in several more states. How they could legalize marijuana. How everywhere you turn, you see that we are increasing speed as we go over the economic cliff and into disaster. We got a phenomena going on today. I was raised to hear the old saying of Ben Franklin, a penny earned, a penny saved is a penny earned. That's not the way they teach it anymore. I was raised where I saw pictures of the grasshopper in the snow knocking on the door of the thrifty conservative ant to get some food because he'd played away and fiddled away the summer. Anybody remember that in school? What were they teaching us? Teaching us exactly the opposite of what we see our government practicing today. Just the very opposite of that. I think the stock market voted on Wednesday, following Tuesday. For you folks that know what I'm talking about, it hit the bottom. Some folks are scared. Some folks that's saying, hey, I'm tired of this. But you know, a lot of folks couldn't vote against Santa Claus. They couldn't vote against Robin Hood. The mythical story of Robin Hood is robbing from the rich and giving to the poor. Do you believe that? That's what some folks seem to believe. I tell you what we are doing. We're not robbing from the rich to give to the poor. We're robbing from our grandkids ahead of us. That's what we're robbing for them right now. And that to me is a strange phenomenon that America is settling for that sort of a stuff today. But the greatest phenomenon in America to me today is the, as I think about Veterans Day, is the change from the old world to the new. From the good old-fashioned proven character and proven attributes and principles, that we've turned our back on those things that made us great. We had the veterans stand a while ago, and what they represented and what they stood for and what World War I and II and right on up through Korea and Vietnam, we're still fighting for old America. But now the battle we're fighting is on the inside of internationalizing and paying the bills for everybody else in the world, and something very strange to what our forefathers would have recognized. And that's where we move to today. It's too bad, folks, but the election showed this. We already knew it. It's been in the past now for a number of years. We've been seeing the picture of America change and the values change. I heard a fellow say on TV, he said a man out there earning $40,000-$50,000 a year by work can probably quit work and draw that much free. But now, wait a minute. It might seem free to him, but it's taking it from somebody else. I don't know when we're going to get this through our head. A government don't produce anything. It takes. It don't make. It takes. Takes. And this redistribution of the wealth, redistributing of the wealth is going to bring us down to where, hey, communism used the same lies we're hearing today. That's the way it made its gains, was lying the same way. And what happened? Then you wound up with an elite rich and a very poor poor. And the middle class that they talk so much about, gone. Help yourself. I'm saying it's a phenomenon to me today because I'm old enough to grow up when things were different. I tell you what we've done. We've moved into the Nazi philosophy that produced Hitler, that Hitler used to take his throne. You veterans out there that know something about World War II, you understand that that's exactly what's going, what's happening today. I saw the liberal news media get so happy because they come out with a poll, and the poll said 1 in 5 now declare themselves atheists. That made them happy. It made Hitler happy too. See, in 1936, when Hitler was getting his foundation going, you know what he did? He closed all the Christian schools. 1 year later, he said any teacher in their state education system could not be connected any kind of way with any Christian organization. That meant if a teacher was a member of his church, they had to give up that membership because Hitler said you can't teach. You know what his plan was? His plan was to produce the humanist child, the one he could control, the one he could be the authority over. Let me say this. You need to be wise today. I mentioned you couldn't have the Lord's Prayer in school today without breaking the law. That sort of stuff is what I'm talking to you about. ACLU is suing any school, any coach that prays with his team, anything else. You see it in the news all the time. And yet, as Americans, we say, I wish it wasn't so, but we don't raise our voice. We don't even raise our voice at the voting polls. When it come to all the Christians that could have voted, where were they at? Amen. Help yourself. I'm talking about we've moved into a Hitler Nazi style philosophy today. You know what? Satan hates the Christian school movement. If you're bad mouthing a Christian school, you're doing the work of Satan. Did you know that? Because we're trying to say to those kids the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Savior. We're trying to say it pays to serve God and to live clean and to marry clean and to do all that this book would teach you to do. But the enemy, the devil, and all his crowd don't want that talk. We've had a Christian school here for 40 years, a little more. And it's always been a fight against the bad mouthing from the outside of people. You know why? Because Satan never has like that. But I think about all the good that's been done, all the blessings. And when I hear somebody bad mouthing our school, I try to take it as a grain of salt, that they don't know what they're talking about, that they're doing the devil's work. You hear silly stuff. Heard this week somebody said we'd lost our accreditation. Let me tell you something. See me after. I don't have time, but see me after. I'll be glad to give you a lesson on that. Listen to me close. Radio Land, listen to me. This school, Landmark Christian School, was the first accredited school in Haines City, Florida. You didn't know that, did you? By about 3 years. Well, I see some dumb looks out there. Let me also say this. Do you know that the state does not accredit schools? Do you know the state recognizes an accredited board, but it's separate from the state? Do you understand our school was accredited by a separate board? the Florida Association of Christian Schools. Who in the world would tell such a thing? And you've got some of our students talking about, I don't know. But I know that's the devil's work. It's not God's. And I'm saying to you today, we better hold on to the old America and the values. The first schools in America were started in the church building. The first textbook was the Bible. Amen. And that's, we'd be a lot better off today have Bibles in the school instead of armed guards. Or machines to see if they got guns on them when they come in. No, I'm going to say to you today, there's some phenomena going around that amazes me. In Hitler's day, there was a preacher. He was very famous as we study and look back on history because he paid the ultimate price. There was a German theologian by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a man that was trying to wake up the church. He saw what Hitler was doing. He saw what the government was doing. He saw all the values being trashed. He saw the Christian schools being closed. He saw all of that, and he began to try to speak up and wake up the church. Amen. But they didn't wake up. He wrote a book, The Cost of Discipleship. Still a great book today. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this. He said, silence in the face of evil is evil. He said, to not speak is to speak. To not to act is to act. And he was trying to wake up the church in time, but he couldn't do it. They hanged him 1 month before the war was over. They stripped him and hanged him naked. That's how bad Hitler hated what he stood for. Now I want to say to you, there's a new Hitler coming on the scene before long. We know him as the Antichrist. And Hitler was a type of the Antichrist. And I say to you today, I would have never believed, but I'm beginning to believe it more and more in the atmosphere I see in our good old America, that he could be in America. He is somewhere today, and he will be revealed one day, and he'll have the same philosophy that Hitler espoused in what you're being sold over your boob tube today. And over the internet is a whole lot about what brought Hitler to power. The phenomena of thinking it can't happen in America, you better get over that. It is happening in America. It is happening today. I say to you, I see events that we could rightly call a phenomena today. Things we would not believe. Things we cannot explain, in fact. But I want to tell you about the biggest phenomena I know of. That's simply this, the greatest one I see today, and I see it often. I see men, women, and teenagers that are lost and think they're all right. They're going to face God in that lostness, go before the judgment of God, and they know it's wrong, and yet they reject. And the phenomenon is they reject the goodness of God in Jesus Christ that came and paid for their sins. And the phenomena is they're going to take their own chances. The Bible says it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. Our Bible says God will not acquit the wicked. And you're going to take your chances before a holy God that gave his perfect son, sinless son, to pay for your sins on the cross, and you're going to just ignore him and slap him aside and stand before an awesome God of the universe and try to argue your case? That's a phenomenon I don't understand. I can't understand that. You have no peace in your soul. Your conscience hurts. Your guilt is ever before you. You've tried the pills. You've tried the alcohol. You've tried the brainwashing of special classes, psychiatrists, you name it. You're trying all that stuff and you don't have any peace. Yet the phenomenon is you reject the Prince of Peace, the Son of God that loved you and died for you. That's a phenomenon. That's unexplainable. That's strange. That's hard to reconcile. You understand what I'm saying? Here they saw him up on the mountain. Peter, James, and John looked. There is Jesus and Moses and Elijah transfigured in the glory, standing up there. I mean, man, what a film that would have made at 6:30. It's coming in the future. I already said it. Revelation 11. But in the meantime today, we see people reaching and grabbing and trying to hold on to everything but the right thing. That's the Lord Jesus. If we'd listen to him, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. We wouldn't be in the mess we're in politically, financially, morally, every way you can mention today, if we were going by the Word of God. You know, whatever you're putting your faith in, try in your own way. Do you understand what you're doing? If you're not trusting Jesus, you're lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself. What would you say if you stood before the throne of God and said, Lord, I'm so good, let me in heaven? You think you'd get in on that? If you say, but I'm better than somebody else I know, you think that's going to get you in? It's not your works. You don't have any good works that get you into heaven. You don't have any righteousness of your own to get you into heaven. The phenomena is that you want to trust yours instead of his. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy that he saved us. He saved those that'll come and trust and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because when you do that, then you become clothed in his righteousness, his perfection, not your imperfection, not your filthy rags of your own righteousness, but in his perfect robe of righteousness. You can stand before the audience of the judgment seat. You can stand before God and find out that your sins have been put away. They've been paid for, and the gate is open to you, and you go in. What kind of phenomena is it that a man will say, I'll trust myself instead of the perfect one, the God that loved me, incarnated himself in flesh, and took my sins on him? That's a phenomenon, my folks. Rejecting what God did for you to try to do something for yourself is a phenomenon. Peter referred to this passage. You know, he opened his mouth inadvertently here. He was scared. Later on, Peter spoke about it over in 2 Peter chapter 1. And over in 2 Peter chapter 1, he's referring back to this. And he said there was a voice that came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Listen to this. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. What is the more sure word of prophecy, Peter? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. He said, we saw with our eye his majesty. We saw the greatness, the phenomena on the Mount of Transfiguration, as great as it was. He said, we got a more sure word of prophecy, the Bible. Now, if you're going to trust your way instead of Christ, you're lining up against God's sure prophecy, God's sure word. Because this Bible says there is only one way to heaven. This Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Is Jesus true or is he a lie? You're calling him a liar if you're trusting yourself instead of him. He said he was the only way. I know the intellect of our day don't like that. I know they are so proud of their degrees and their education. But, my friend, it'll all be nothing when they stand before God if they don't have Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. A phenomena of a lost man who knows deep in his heart he don't have any peace. Fellow said to me one time, he said, well, I'm doing the best I can. Kept on saying, I'm doing the best I can. That's good enough. I said, let me ask you an honest question. Will you promise to give me an honest answer? He said, yes. I said, are you really doing the best you know how? He thought a minute. I said, you know what I mean by that? I mean, are there some good things you know to do you haven't done? He said, well, I guess. I said, then you're not doing the best you know how. If by your own admission, there's things you need to do you haven't done. Who are you kidding? You're kidding yourself. You're lying to yourself. Your own righteousness is not going to get you in. You're going to need somebody that was perfect to take your place. And that's Jesus Christ. And I say to you today, in a world that even as the phenomena seems to break around them. They continue to seem to reject the gospel more and more. Sad truth is that seems to be happening. But the truth is that you can be saved. You can, like Peter, James, and John, be caught up apart when the trumpet sounds. And you can be ready to come back with Jesus one day when his glory is revealed on this earth, when he will sit on the throne of David, when he will take over his kingdom. I want to tell you what, this world's got some phenomena ahead of them. They really, really have. I want to say to you the truth this morning is that you can receive Christ, be forgiven, and one day in his time and be transfigured just like him. The Bible says we'll just be just like Jesus in that day. Do you know him as Savior? The phenomenon for you this morning would be to stay back and not receive Christ. When others all around you have received him, to receive him is to be saved, folks. To reject him is to be lost. To receive him is to go to heaven. To reject him is to go to hell. Are you a phenomenon today that people have prayed for you, told you, begged you, showed you the gospel, how to be saved, and yet you're going to take your chances without Jesus? That's the phenomena that'll destroy you forever. I hope that's not what you're doing. Let's bow our heads.